I'm Ken Hemmings, and he is Chris Lang, and welcome to another of these regular property briefings. Again, a warm welcome to you, Chris.
It's good to be back with you.
You know, quite apart from the May budget, there was a lot of negative press coverage before that, when Ford and Holden announced they would be shutting up shop here in Australia. How is all that likely to affect the commercial property market, particularly here in Victoria, where the greatest impact will be felt?
Look, there's no question that there's been a lot of negative talk recently about the likely detrimental impact of the car industry leaving Australia. I mean, and probably what compounds this is the fact that the Labor government poured billions of dollars into both Holden and Ford, and the implication was that that would tide them over and get them through the downtime of the global financial crisis, and things would turn around and everything would be fine again. But the reality is that our economy, Australia's economy, is not big enough to support a car industry. Now, it's not like Volvo or some of the other European companies or even some of the American ones, where they have a captive market of millions and millions of sales each year, and then they export them. We, Holden and Ford, are subsidiaries of an American company. They're principally building and selling cars for the Australian market. It's not like we're suddenly exporting to the rest of the world. Sure, a number of our design skills are being used in American cars, but the manufacturing side of things was never, ever going to be profitable. And this is what people need to understand. And look, clearly, our hearts go out to all of those affected workers and their families in the manufacturing companies and also the related component suppliers. And look, I don't think any of us can even start to imagine the shock and surprise that they were feeling, particularly in the run-up to Christmas. I mean, it's just many of them have been there for at least two generations, sometimes three. I mean, the grandchildren of some of the original workers were there. So it has an emotional impact. There's no question about that. But nonetheless, you need to focus upon the likely impacts upon the Australian economy. And much of the pundits' commentary that's been floating around on the TV and the newspapers has been quite misguided. I mean, it appears to be emotionally charged and politically motivated. And any talk that they had or continue to have of a recession happening in Australia are quite wrong. In fact, it's bordering on mischievous because it's just not going to happen. These are structural changes. Yes, they're painful at the moment, and they will be for a few years and maybe a little longer for some of the more mature workers that can't readily get redeployed. But the reality is it's something that had to happen within Australia and will be digested and worked through, and Australia will end up being better for it in the long run.
So, economically, what would be the likely effect on these departures?
Okay, economically. Certainly, as I said, Ford and Holden's departure will have a short-term impact. But you need to look at the underlying economic facts. And there was a recent article by Saul Eslick, who is the chief economist at Bank of America Merrill Lynch. And what he pointed out was that the car industry and the components manufacturing supporting the industry represents about 0.4% of the total employment. And that adds up to a similar amount that Australia's gross domestic product, and that would vary on a quarterly basis. So it's the same amount in the employment and only represents 0.4% of the GDP. And from month to month or quarter to quarter, that's the sort of fluctuations you'd expect anyway. So it's not going to have the dramatic effect that the beat up of the political commentary is suggesting that it might. Now, there was a study done by Flinders University after Mitsubishi closed in 2007. It closed two factories. It was the Lonsdale and Tonsley Park factories just out of Adelaide. Now, they found that most workers who were made redundant found alternative work within 18 months. Now, you've got to understand that Mitsubishi announced it was going to close, and it closed. I mean, there was no warning. Whereas the actual closes for Ford and Holden are not happening immediately. Instead, they have been foreshadowed well in advance and will occur progressively through to 2017. So while the emotional shock is immediate, the impact upon those workers is progressive. Now, if they choose to leave now, they can. They will be retrained over that period. And anyone who's serious about getting another job will have the opportunity to do so.
Presumably, there will be an offer of retraining for sacked workers.
Yes. My understanding is that there will be considerable funds poured into it. Both the state and federal governments, plus the companies involved themselves, will be providing millions of dollars of support and retraining help for every displaced worker. And also, I think part of the billions that were passed across to Ford and Holden by the Labor government, there was a rider that if in fact they did close before a certain date, that they had to put aside a fair proportion of that money that they'd been granted by the federal government specifically for retraining displaced workers. Now, as I said, apart from those that are close to retirement, this means that everyone who is really serious about finding ongoing employment has a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for a financed transfer across to a new employer whose future is not dependent upon government subsidy for its survival. Now, what happens here is that the difficulty, if this hadn't happened, was that there would be no opportunity for anyone within Ford and Holden to get the retraining. But this is something that will be paramount in the restructuring, is that these displaced workers will be given new skills. Now, I understand there won't be an easy transfer, but if they have the motivation to be retrained, they can apply for and be granted specific training to adapt the skills that they already have and to find placement for them within a wide range of industries. Now, just taking Geelong for itself, there are so many new industries coming up, like carbon fibre. There's a whole lot of tech industries coming up that are about to embark on manufacturing, having developed new products. The universities that are growing here. I mean, Geelong is becoming a university city, and along with that are incubator groups that are opening up new businesses on a very rapid scale, so that even within the Geelong area, there will be a number of jobs opening up over the next few years.
Is there any precedent to gauge the impact of this sort of assistance funding?
Yeah, there is. And look, you only need to cast your mind back to the bushfire devastation that Victoria went through in early 2009. Now, at that point, everyone said, I mean, whole communities in the bush were devastated, community facilities such as football grounds and council buildings and all sorts of infrastructure was destroyed. And everyone said, look, tourism is dead. It'll take years for it to get back. How will the operators continue during this 2 or 3 or 4 year rebuild period? It's just not going to happen. And there was initially great despondency. But as a result of the recovery process, and that was, again, funded by state and federal governments, but in that case, instead of where it is now, the car companies, it was the insurance companies. And the money that was poured into those local economies was amazing. And whereas a lot of the motels and accommodation houses, which people were concerned about whether they would survive, whereas they, on an annual basis, were probably experiencing, 70-80% occupancy, all of a sudden they were 100% occupied by all the tradies who were actually living there full-time in the rebuilding process during the or following the devastation of the bushfires. And, of course, they earn their money there, they spend their money there. So the whole community's actually benefited greatly. And as a result, the Victorian economy was actually left in a far stronger position. And you only have to look at the figures and net migration between the states. And if you look at it, that Victoria has had a massive, since the last 5 years, really since the bushfires, has had a massive net migration compared to the other states, particularly New South Wales. And whereas Brisbane and Perth, with the mining, took a lot of people away, they're all coming back. But they're coming to Victoria. They're not going to New South Wales because Victoria is one of the few states, I think it's the only state, that is really in economically good shape. I mean, Brisbane or Queensland's in dire straits, so is Western Australia. And this, because of their sole dependence upon the mining sector, they have problems. I mean, New South Wales likewise seems to be in dire straits. And there are massive asset sales being contemplated to repair budgets and things like that, whereas Victoria is actually in good shape. And it's a result of emerging from what appeared initially to be a disaster. Now, that was a natural disaster. Here we're talking about a disaster within industry, but the funds that will follow will flow into the hands of those that are displaced. They will be spent here, and they are funds that would not have otherwise been circulating around the economy. So while the personal toll emotionally and for some initially economically may put a strain on relationships and things like that, ultimately, the effect of it, the structural effect, will place Victoria and particularly Melbourne and its surrounding areas where the supposed greatest impact will be in a far better economic standing in over the next 2 or 3 years than it would have been without the departure of Holden and Ford.
So I guess that means you need to look past the knee-jerk reactions plus the inevitable short-term adjustments that will occur.
Yeah, and what's important is for people to focus upon the long-term sustainable benefits which these events will actually deliver, both for the economy and for the commercial property market.
Well, thanks, Chris. It's always good to get a more complete understanding and perspective on these rather emotive issues.